This is the BBC Home Service and the British Forces Network in Germany. Saturday Night Theatre.
Still I love him, I'll forgive him, I'll go with him wherever he goes.
We present Marjorie Westbury as Queenie Holroyd, Joe Manning Wilson as Daniel Sherritt, and Austin Trevor as Dr. Heslop, with Dennis Hawthorne and Nicolette Bernard in The Woman in the Woods, a play for radio adapted from her book by Charity Blackstock. The Woman in the Woods.
Well, that'll be all. Now, I know it's a few minutes early, but it's the end of term, and I'm as fed up with you as you are with me. I hope you all have a good holiday. And if any of you meet young Mike Lord, you can tell him with my compliments that I'm having the hide off him for presuming to cut the last class of term.
Bye, Mr. Brennan.
Well, thank you,
now.
Sir.
Have a good holiday, sir.
Thank you. And you. Goodbye.
Mr. Brennan.
You have a fine impudence, haven't you, Mike? Coming up as bold as brass, as if cutting a class didn't matter a tinker's dab.
Oh, sir, there's a body in the woods.
There's a what? If you're making this...
I'm not... It's a skeleton, sir. It's up the north end past the mill. I nearly fell over it. It looks rather horrid. You can't see what it was. We must have been there a long time.
A prize giving, a school exhibition tomorrow, the temperature 80 in the shade, and now a corpse thrown in gratis. Oh, all right, I suppose I'd better go and have a look at it. Tell me exactly what it is.
Well, I'd like to come with you, Mr. Brennan.
Why, you look sick enough already.
There's no one at home. Dad's still at work.
Oh. Well, come along if you want to. Where is this, this thing?
This way, sir. Through the woods.
When I was single, I wore a black shawl. Now that I'm married, I've nothing at all. Still, I love him. I'll forgive him. I'll go with him wherever he goes.
Sir. Bits of a shoe.
What?
It's still attached to one foot, sir. Someone must have tried to bury the body, but I expect the heavy rains washed the twigs and leaves away.
Looks to me remarkably like murder.
Murder?
Oh, never mind. Come along, there's nothing to gawp at. And don't imagine I've forgotten your disgraceful behaviour. You'll come in tomorrow before the parents arrive for the exhibition and you'll make up that hour you missed today.
But, sir, it's the end of term.
Not for you, it isn't. Now, I'd better get the police along and the doctor too, I suppose.
You're soft, Nicole. Is it the heat?
Oh, no.
Mr. Mawson must give him a
few days. Sometimes he's so grown up, he seems twice 8, and sometimes he just likes to play the tantrumy baby. Oh, James, it's not fair to go on at you when you're so exhausted. But do you think there's any hope at all that he'll get better? Oh, please answer, please.
My dear, the truth is simply that I do not know. You mustn't equate doctors with God.
That's some idea. I can't take the truth. I always could, you know, when my husband... When Dan was killed, they all tried to break the news so gently. They said, I'm afraid it's bad news, but take it quietly. Just sit down, have a drink, do this, do that. And James, the world was cracking. It was the end. I knew it. And they wouldn't say, they would not. It was unbearable. Don't try to soften things for me, James. Be brutal. I'm sure you can be brutal when you choose.
Oh, that's a fine thing to say. You'll be accusing me of murder next.
Oh, I expect you could do a murder. Most people could. Dan used to say it was purely an attitude of mind. But you are only changing the subject. Daniel, please, James, and don't try to spare my feelings.
You keep a good sherry.
Dan taught me. Besides, I'm a French woman. I was brought up on wine.
Do you drink much of it?
No, when I can, why not? A little of what you fancy does you good.
Is that one of the songs you teach Daniel?
It's one of the songs Daniel teaches me. He learnt it from that... funny North Country woman who came here last year. Oh, I've forgotten her name, but she was very vulgar with a lot of dyed hair, and she sang songs. She talked to Daniel once out in the garden. He was enchanted with her. I wasn't. Oh, that hair.
I don't look at women's hair. That way lies ruin and the GMC. The only hair I permit myself to look at is yours, which I like very much and which...
Daniel, James.
But I wish you didn't look so tired. Could I give you something?
Oh, why can't you answer my question? I shall scream in a moment. What's the matter with you today?
I think your nerves are in a very bad state. But all right, I'll answer you. Daniel fell off that wall 3 years ago when he was five. There was no apparent physical damage. The paralysis of the lower limbs was due to shock, and is something that medical science just cannot explain. There's a chance that movement may suddenly return. As far as the X-ray revealed, there's no reason why he shouldn't walk again. We've kept the muscles from wasting by massage and electric treatment. What will happen now, neither you nor I can prophesy. Perhaps one day he'll receive another shock to set him in action. Oh, my poor darling, don't cry.
Oh, never mind. I'm only tired. What you are really trying to say, James, is that there's no hope at all.
Now, don't be silly. There's always hope. Have a cigarette and stop being so sorry for yourself.
Thank you.
Is there anything else that's worrying you?
Only Miss Fanny.
And who the hell's she?
Oh, I wish I knew someone Daniel made up. He's always talking about her, and it drives me mad. She's marvelous for proving him right and everybody else wrong. Sometimes I almost believe in her myself. I could strangle her.
But all children make up fantasies. You're just being neurotic, you know.
Oh,
I know it's hard for you. You're only 27, you've lost your husband, and you have a crippled child. But you are at least comfortably off. And you do have ardent males pursuing you with the most honorable offers. I've wanted to marry you ever since I met you. And so I understand, does Tim Brennan.
Oh, Tim.
Yes, Tim. Well, there it is. We both want to marry you. You don't want to marry us, so.
Oh, no, not a visitor.
I have a nasty feeling it's for me. I'd be willing to bet it's the Cairns, baby. A nice breech delivery is all I need to finish my day. And the Cairns brats, apart from shocking timekeepers, usually arrive the wrong end up. Tell them I'm dead, Nicole. Tell them someone's murdered. Tell them...
Scavenger.
Oh, you mustn't say that, Mr. Brennan. He's such a clever gentleman.
Surely he's a clever gentleman with his 14th century cottage and his 18th century collection.
His novel's always going to three editions. The visitors who come here are more interested in Mr. Plumtree than the church or the manor house.
All right, love. I'm not really running him down. Only I don't read thrillers myself, and Mr. Plumtree and I have never seen eye to eye. Are you suggesting he did the murder?
Oh, of course not. It couldn't be one of us.
Why not? Perhaps Dr. Heslop has made a little mistake.
Mr. Brennan.
Or perhaps Rose put cyanide into the prescription instead of bicarb.
You mustn't say things
or
like
Miss
that.
Or Miss Brooks now. Anyone who paints such lousy pictures is capable of anything.
They're all my customers, I'd have you know, Mr. Brennan.
No. I'm sorry, Mrs. Tate. I'm a little... it doesn't matter. But if it is murder anyway, and nobody knows, it's probably some miserable outsider. I better cut along to Mrs. Sherrod before I shock you again.
Your change, Mr. Brennan.
Well, Daniel? Oh, darling, you haven't eaten your supper. You've been playing with your nice new pencil, haven't you, instead of finishing your jelly?
I'm too old for jelly. I want tripe.
Tripe? What's that? I don't know it.
Miss Fanny always has tripe for tea. I want it for my breakfast. Miss Fanny called in just now. She sang me one of her songs. But I won't bore you with that, Mummy. Though it's a lovely song, all about an elephant. It's a pity you can't sing like Miss Fanny.
It's a pity you can be so difficult. Oh, don't be such a cross patch, Daniel. Sing me the elephant song and I'll make Miss Fanny a lovely breakfast. When is she coming?
8 o'clock, sharp. You don't like Miss Fanny. I do. Lovely, lovely yellow hair, like the sun. And she speaks different.
Differently?
Miss Fanny says different, so I'll say it too.
Oh.
And I don't want to go to sleep. It's too hot.
Darling, don't be naughty.
Mike's had a row with Brennan because he went into the woods. He says he's got to go to school tomorrow. I don't
Daniel.
See why he should. He only went into the woods. Why do you never take me into the woods? Is it because my legs are funny?
Now, Daniel, stop dramatizing yourself.
Brennan's just as bad. He went into the woods himself. I think he's just silly.
Have you got a temperature again?
Of course I haven't.
Anyway, it's time you were asleep. I'll just sponge your face and hands.
I want a drink of water.
But you've just had your milk.
I'm thirsty.
Oh, all right. There. Now, hurry up.
Miss Fanny says she'll take me into the woods one day. She wouldn't let Brennan make her go to school. She'd give him what for, like what she said she'd give the old man when she saw him.
I don't know what you're talking about. Have you finished your drink?
I haven't started yet. Miss Fenny says...
You didn't want that water at all. It's just an excuse.
I did. It isn't. I want another glass of water.
You're being very naughty. Stop that noise at once. Daniel, be quiet. I shall ask Tim to speak to you.
Miss Fenny won't let him. She'll bash him, Miss Fenny. Well, you wait till I tell her.
I don't know what's the matter with you this evening. You're being dreadfully naughty and poor Mummy. So tired.
I don't care. I hate you. Oh, you're Brennan. A beast. I won't go to sleep till Brennan's told me my story.
Oh, I do not tell stories to little boys who are rude to their mothers. No story tonight, Daniel. If you want to get separated, Nicole, I'll deal with this young man.
Thank you, Tim.
I'll see you downstairs then. You're a right bastard. That's what you are, Brennan. A right bastard.
What did you say?
I said you were a right...
Where did you learn that charming expression?
Miss Fenny says it. She said he was one...
Well, I'm ashamed of you. You know perfectly well that is no language to use. And just stop that silly noise. Now, you can tell Miss Fenny from me that if I ever catch her, I'll give her something to remember me by. As for you, young Daniel, if you ever say that again...
You can't do anything to me.
Oh, can't I?
You can't. I'm too ill.
One day I'll surprise you.
Brennan.
Well?
You can have it if you like.
No, thank you, Daniel.
Brennan!
You young sinner. You're a desperate character, Daniel.
Born of tenements of Corpus Crossus, of all the gangs he was the boss, bought a razor 5 inches wide, carved up his mouth, and slung in the plight.
Well, that wasn't Miss Fenny. That's my friend, Mike Law.
He crossed with her.
I don't suppose so. It's you I should be cross with.
I'm sorry, but Miss Fenny does call people. Someone she was going to see was one. She doesn't like him. He hurt her sister. But she likes you. So do I.
Do you?
I did say I was sorry.
Now, look, if I do tell you your story... I didn't say I would mind. Now, you'll give me your word to go to sleep. Not to worry your mother anymore. If you don't...
What will you do?
I'll carve you up and sling you in the Clyde. Oh. Now, once upon a time...
Oh, hello, Tim. I thought you were never coming. Was he very naughty?
Oh, he's all right, if you know how to manage him. But who on earth is this Miss Fenny? She seems to be a very outspoken lady.
Oh, that woman. I wish Daniel had never invented her.
I don't believe he invented her at all. He couldn't make up such things.
One never knows with him. He watches everyone from his window and talks with them. Oh, Tim, you don't mind if we eat here in the kitchen, do you? It's only omelette and salad, and I'm too tired to lay the table. Will you uncork the wine for me?
Oh, yes.
What's the matter? You look strange.
Well, if you don't know, you must be the only person in the village who doesn't.
Oh, do start. The omelette will get cold. What do you mean?
There's a body in the woods.
Oh, but Tim, how dreadful. Who is it?
Oh, nobody knows. She's not very recognizable. Apart from the bones, there's nothing left of her but half a shoe and a couple of gold fillings in her teeth. She was stabbed, so the police tell me. There's the marks of the knife on her ribs and a splinter of steel still inside her. Now, Dr. Heslop found that. He looked pretty sick, too. I suppose doctors prefer bodies with the flesh still on.
So that's why they came for him. Well, at least it's nothing to do with us. It's very shocking, of course. But there's nobody missing from the village. It must be someone from Braxham Magna.
Chauvinist! Braxham Magna disclaims all responsibility. Everyone there is intact.
Oh, well, what does it matter? It's probably one of those dreadful trippers doing what they should not. Respectable people aren't murdered.
You're quite a little prig sometimes, aren't you?
I don't think I am, but I know very well why you call me that. It's only because you wanted me to sleep with you and I wouldn't.
You cross your T's very thoroughly, not to mention dotting your I's. I've never in my life asked you to sleep with me. I've only asked you to marry me. Once, and once only, Nicole, did I... Well, how shall I put it so as not to offend your gentility? Let my kissing exceed intention. I apologized, didn't I? I had no idea you still held it against me.
You treated me like a woman of the streets.
Come on.
I treated you like a human being, and that, it seems, you can never forgive, though it's a year now since it happened. Have you had any reason to reproach me since? Well, answer me, damn you!
There's no need to shout at me, Tim.
I am a human being, too, you know, and I still want to marry you. I ask you twice a week.
Must we go into all this again? I'm so tired.
I think we must. For the last time. I know when I'm beat. Dan, I will speak. Dan was killed 7 years ago, but he still lies between us.
Tim.
You've not been fair, Nicole. By no standards have you been fair.
No.
You ask me to come over, don't you? Well, I'm useful, of course. Men are in their limited way. I suppose you think this is just an act, that if we were married, I should beat Daniel and you into the bargain. Oh, my darling, I didn't mean a word of it. I must be out of my wits. Don't cry like that, Nicole. Please stop crying. You'll have me buried at the crossroads with a stake through my heart, and I'll not survive the next 24 hours if you stay angry with me. Oh, darling, stop it. Tomorrow it'll be all round the village that I've been ill-treating you. My boys will cringe away from me, and Plumtree will be accusing me of God knows what. You're only making me kiss you again. There.
Oh, Tim, I'm so miserable.
Well, I think that had better do, don't you? I sit down, love. Have another glass of wine. My proposing day is tomorrow, isn't it? So we'll postpone the emotion until then. You coming to this school do tomorrow? All local talent to show how clever Braxham Parver is. A nice pile of Plumtree's lousy books and the walls smothered in Miss Brooks's lousy paintings.
No, I must stay with Daniel. And I don't like the paintings or the books.
Oh, neither do I. But unfortunately, as senior history master, I have to put in an appearance. Well, never mind. I'll say goodnight now, darling.
Oh, don't go. It's so early.
I better. I wouldn't be good company. This woman in the woods... I can't get her out of my mind.
But it's nothing to do with you.
Isn't it? She was a human being too, you know.
Oh, won't you stay? I was going to make some coffee.
No, my dear. If I stayed, we should both regret it. And in the morning, when you saw old Tim Brennan with his thickening waistline and his thinning hair, you'd hate him, and then there'd be nothing left between us at all. Good night, Nicole. I'll see you tomorrow.
Good night, Tim.
Ah, the hell with it. Still I'll love him, I'll forgive him, I'll go with him wherever he goes. Good evening, Heslop. Just going home.
Oh, Brennan, good evening.
Finished your post-mortem?
I don't want to talk about it, thank you. What the hell are you singing that damn silly song for?
There's no law against it, is there? Good night. Oh, God, how like of the bitch to bob up again after a whole year.
I'm a sticker, I am. A bounce, me boyo. Hey, you're a right bastard, aren't you, Doctor? Thought you'd get away with it and all, but you didn't bargain on Queenie, did you? I've been waiting for this for a long time. Still, I'll love him. I'll forgive him. I'll be with him wherever he goes.
Rose! Where are you? Rose!
I don't have to eat my breakfast, do I, Miss Fenny? You wouldn't eat it if you were me, would you? Mummy, Miss Fenny says I needn't eat my breakfast unless it's some lovely tripe.
Well, I say you need, Daniel. Here's Brennan.
Oh,
he'll be very cross with you for being so naughty.
He isn't cross. I can see him from the window. And he's laughing so much he nearly knocked his bike over.
I'm very cross indeed, Daniel. I'm coming in to blow you up with my bicycle pump. Now, what's all this no breakfast laugh?
He says he wants tripe, whatever that is, and he just won't touch his beautiful new-laid egg.
Tripe? Why tripe, in heaven's name?
Miss Fenny's coming to breakfast before she goes to see the doctor. And she says she wants tripe, so I want tripe too.
If Miss Fenny's going to the doctor, that means there's something wrong with her inside. So she won't be able to eat anything as indigestible as tripe. Now, the kindest thing for you to do, Daniel, is to get your breakfast over before she sees it.
You think I ought to eat my egg?
Oh, I do indeed. And you better hurry up. She'll be here any moment now.
Oh, well, I suppose I must. Mummy, where's my egg cutter?
Here, darling.
Oh. Wait for me, Tim. I'm just coming down.
Hello.
I wish you'd stop making me a bogeyman, Nicole. All this hush-a-bye, baby, or Brennan will get you stuff. Anybody would think I was a kid basher.
Well, he does listen to you, Tim.
I'm eating my egg, Brennan. Look, Brennan. I'm eating my egg.
You'd better. Next time I'll make you lay it.
Oh, how I detest that woman. It's like having a lodger in the house. This goes on all day. He talks of nothing.
Shut up, young Daniel!
See you, Brennan! Silly old Brennan!
You see? Terrified of me.
I'll give you, silly old Brennan!
You can't! You can't do anything to me! You can't even touch me because I die!
I'll spank you in a moment!
I'm sorry about last night, Tim.
I'll forgive you. But you mustn't give me the chance of cashing in on your loneliness, because you don't forgive as easily as I do, and... Oh. Have you seen the paper this morning?
Yes, I have. I suppose it's very dreadful. Do you really think it's something to do with one of us?
I feel it in my bones. Oh, what am I saying? Oh, perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps it was just a lover's quarrel, and he thrust a penknife in her by mistake. Isn't that my friend Dr. Heslop I see coming towards?
Oh, he usually looks in about this time.
Then I'll be looking out. There are a lot of things I can't stand this morning, and Heslop is one of them. Besides, young Master Lord will be waiting for me, swearing and cursing and wishing all schoolmasters at the bottom of the deep blue sea.
You really have forgiven me, haven't you?
You're afraid too, aren't you?
What do you mean?
We're all afraid, including the dear doctor. We're afraid of a handful of bones because we're digging up other things with them, things that won't bury so easily. We've unleashed the ghosts, Nicole.
Oh.
Oh, yes, my silly darling, I've forgiven you. It was surely a foregone conclusion. And now I must give Mike a little lesson in every sense of the word and then make my dutiful appearance at the damn cultural do that bores the parents stiff and me too. All nice, clean, jolly fun. Am I invited round this evening?
Oh, please, Tim, of course.
Oh, please, Tim. Dear Tim. Such a kind man and so easily whistled to heel. Trust Tim. Only the paid for seems to take such a long, long time.
What is the matter with you?
Oh, I don't know. I just don't know. No. And I don't start crying again, for God's sake. Daniel is watching us. He mustn't see Mama with the vapors. Goodbye, love. I didn't mean to hurt you. I never want to hurt you.
You just wait, my son. Silly old Brennan, indeed.
Silly old Brennan. Silly old Dr. Heslop.
Well, Doctor, so we're both condemned as silly old men. And you know, I believe the brat is perfectly right. I'll be off.
Young Daniel seems in fine form this morning.
He seems rather over-excited. I'm glad you've come to have a look at him, James. Say good morning to Dr. Heslop, darling.
No, never mind. We're old friends, aren't we, Daniel? We don't need to stand on ceremony. And how are you feeling?
Miss Fenny isn't well.
Oh, and what's the matter with her?
She has a tummy ache. She says she's come here specially to see you. Why does she want to see you, Dr. Heslop?
Well, I expect it's because I'm such a good doctor.
And will you make her pain better?
Yes, yes.
Oh, you're hurting me.
I'm only checking your pulse.
You hurt Miss Fenny, too. You made her cry. You won't make me cry.
Of course I won't make you cry. Where's Miss Fenny's pain?
In the side. Here.
You said it was her stomach.
She says it's the side.
Oh, well, I expect it's moved round. Pains often do. It's what we call a reflexive pain. I don't think it's anything serious.
Reflexive pain? It hurts dreadfully. Oh, don't hurt her anymore, Dr. Heslop. Please don't. Make her better now.
I'll tell you what we'll do, Daniel. I'll get Rose to make her up some medicine.
Some pills. Some lovely pink pills. Pills in a little white box.
Pills? What do you know about those pills?
You and your rotten pills, you son of a bitch. You and your stinking rotten pills. You wanted her out of the way, didn't you? You wanted her to die as well as the baby. You knew she'd take too many. Hey, you're a clever bastard, Doctor, but you don't hoodwink me, not by a long chalk.
Yes, of course. We'll make her up some pills. Pills with honey and lots of pink icing to give them a nice colour.
That's silly. Pills aren't made of things like that.
These pills are different, Daniel. These pills will make Miss Fenny well at once.
She'll never have a pain again.
She'll never have a pain again. Oh, poor Miss Fenny. I love her so much, and I don't want her hurt.
Of course you don't. Well, Nicole, I think I'll prescribe this young man a little sedative. There's nothing much wrong with him. We'll have him and Miss Fenny right in no time. Goodbye, Daniel.
Bye. I'll come to the door with you. You truly think Daniel will be all right?
Yes, of course he will. For goodness sake, stop worrying. Oh, are you going to the school artistic do?
Oh, no, I can't.
Neither, thank God, can I. But I bet the village is there. And not for Miss Brooks's painting either. We're in the news. We've something to talk about. All the world loves a murder, which is why our revolting plum tree flourishes. Old churches and manor houses grow monotonous after the first few hundred years. But a body in the woods.
Mr. Brennan, they'll probably know who the body is soon. They've traced the shoe. It was handmade. The police are interviewing the man who made it.
Do you think you could try not to brood on it too much? Now, I know it was pretty beastly, but she's been dead a long time, and the murderer's the only person who really needs to worry.
And serve him jolly well right.
Stop being so self-righteous. And go home. The class is over. The term is ended. The prisoner is discharged without a stain on his filthy character. I'm going anyway. You can stay here till next term if you want to.
Mr. Brennan?
What is it now?
Dr. Heslop's behaving awfully queerly. I saw him last night, just after you left him. He was all red in the face. He was talking to himself.
Now, look, you don't like Dr. Heslop. Neither, frankly, do I, but that doesn't make him a murderer.
I didn't call him a murderer, sir.
No, you didn't, did you? But you didn't cast that remark into the blue for nothing, either. All right, so he's behaving queerly. So what?
He said something about the bitch bobbing up again.
You know what's the matter with you, don't you? You're just paying off an old score. You've never forgotten the time he earned you a thrashing by reporting you to your father for cheek. Now, why shouldn't he talk to himself if he wants to? Anyway, he was probably referring to Rose.
Yes, sir.
And just take that silly look off your face. And if you're really murder hunting, look out. It's a dangerous game. If you see something important, tell the police. And now, for goodness sake, go away so that I can get into the hall and do my duty. Good grief, it's too much for a man to bear. A display of Plumtree's books and Miss Brooks's pictures at one and the same time. And don't repeat that or I'll murder you.
Daniel said Dr. Heslop doesn't like him talking about Miss Fenny. He says Dr. Heslop hurt his wrist.
I'm just not listening. I haven't time for all this nonsense.
Oh, isn't this nice, Mr. Brennan?
Isn't it, Mrs. Tate?
I think that pile of Mr. Plumtree's books looks ever so pretty.
I hope you've told him so.
The parents are all very impressed. Of course, we have one of the best grammar schools in the kingdom. What with all this and the murder, we're really becoming quite famous. Do you see that painting over there?
Yeah. Good God, what is it?
Oh, Mr. Brennan, really, it's a nude, a female nude.
Oh.
Miss Brooks was telling me all about her. It's just like her, too. I simply can't understand why Miss Brooks isn't hung.
I can't understand it either. I'm sorry, Mrs. Tate. I'm not very good at this kind of thing. Who is it like? What are you talking about?
I'm sure you must remember her. Dear little woman with yellow hair. She was an actress. She was a wee bit common, of course, with her North Country accent and the things she said, but oh, she was so friendly, you couldn't help liking her.
You must mean our Queenie. Of course I remember her. Oh, hello, Plumtree. Didn't you notice our Queenie? You might have used her up for one of your murder books.
I think I might say that without our Queenie, I would never have written books at all.
What an odd thing to say, Mr. Plumtree.
Oh.
But I don't think we can be talking the same person. Her name was Holroyd. Miss Brooks said no. That's Miss Holroyd, isn't it, Miss Brooks?
Hmm? Oh, certainly not. Her name was Lefanu. Belle Lefanu.
I don't quite understand.
Simple enough. Belle Lefanu was her stage name, but she was born Queenie. She was as common as bread and a real honest-to-God darling.
Yes, indeed she was. Queenie Holroyd. We came from the same town. We lived in the same house.
Well, you will have your little joke.
I never joke.
Well, I think that portrait's an excellent likeness, and she never saw it. She never even came to say goodbye, and I was so disappointed. She'd promised to come back, but she just vanished. No one ever saw her again.
So strange. She didn't say goodbye to me either. Oh. Though she was always popping in for a packet of fags and a nice little gossip. Mm-hmm. She told me she'd just lost a sister she was very fond of. She didn't tell me what the poor girl died of.
She died of an overdose of pills given her by a doctor in order to procure an abortion.
Oh.
That is what she died of, Mrs. Tate. Her name was Cuffy. She was a pretty girl and quite harmless. So unnecessary and so distasteful, don't you think? And I must return home.
Well, and I must go too. I feel I should like to consult Dr. Heslop about a most alarming attack I had last night. The dear doctor understands me so well. Oh, Rose, I must see Dr. Heslop.
But surgery didn't begin for half an hour.
Oh, I am not a national health patient, Rose.
Oh, all right, Miss Brooks. Mm. Well, come in then.
Thank you.
Perhaps you just go into the waiting room.
Oh, very well.
The doctor's coming up the road now.
Have you heard the latest news, Dr. Heslop?
What news? Quite the little town crier, aren't you, Mike?
They've traced her shoe. The shoe on the body in the woods. They'll probably know who she is any day now.
And why should that interest me?
Oh, I just thought it might.
But it doesn't. Rose! Rose!
Yes, James?
Didn't I tell you not to use my first name, damn you? I've good mind to fire you. You're no use except in bed, and not much there. Sometimes I think you're almost certifiable.
You hit me!
Shut up, for God's sake! Oh, come, there's no need to get in such a state. You know I didn't mean to hit you. There, we're friends again. Now, what is it?
Well, Miss Brooks is here.
Oh, no. All right, sure, in 5 minutes. And meanwhile, may I suggest that you wash your face and blow your nose? I want you to go across to the chemist and get me this.
Yes, Jane. Dr. Heslop. Shall I wait till surgery's
over? Look, when I ask... No, Rose, you do not wait till surgery is over. You go now. Is that clear?
I'll go at once.
And shut the door after you.
Oh, all right.
Now that I'm married, I've nothing at all.
That was the only thing I could do.
Still, I love him.
What have you done with an illegitimate brat?
I'll go with
him. You've only gone on the streets. If that bloody sister of hers hadn't turned up, no one would ever have known.
Oh, I've been waiting for you, Doctor. Didn't Rose tell you that I was here?
Oh, good evening, Miss Brooks.
Good evening.
I was just going to call you in. Sit down, won't you?
Oh, thank you.
Now, what's the trouble?
Oh, I felt so ill last night. A terrible pain. It happened about 3. No, it was 2:30. I heard the clock striking. Oh, was it 3:30? It was like a knife turning inside me.
It's no good you waving that knife at me. You wouldn't dare. My darling, my little love. She died in a way I'll never forget it. And all you're doing, and I'll see you swing for it, you bastard. If it's the last thing I do. Take that knife away. Take it away.
Just like a sharp bladed knife. Here.
Is the knife still turning, Miss Brooks?
What do you mean? Oh, really, Doctor, you ask the oddest question. It wasn't really a knife. Oh, I think it's coming back again. Oh, do you think I have cancer? I'll try to be brave. Just tell me the truth.
No, my dear Miss Brooks. Hmm? You do not have cancer or a duodenal or anything else.
Oh, I see.
You simply have a grossly fat and ill-used body... which you serve as you would hesitate to serve a dustbin.
Oh, really?
Your only trouble is that you're greedy, stupid, selfish, and lazy.
Oh.
If instead of producing those obscene daubs you call painting, you did some honest work and took some healthy exercise, you wouldn't be wasting my time with these drivelling meanderings.
How dare you! I'll report you for this. I'll have you thrown out of the village.
By all means. Would you like a loudspeaker?
Oh, none of you doctors are to be trusted. You're as bad as the man Mr. Plumtree was talking about that killed that poor girl. Just murder. That's all it was. Just murder. And I wouldn't put murder past you.
Are you accusing me of malpractice? I'll get in touch with my solicitors tomorrow.
Oh, I didn't mean. Oh, dear.
You're very overwrought. I'm going to mix you a sedative. It will not be poisoned. This is what is called shock treatment. Yes. If I let you go on as you've been doing, you would soon be in your grave.
Oh, do you mean I'm going to die?
That rests entirely with you.
Oh, dear. I think I'd better go home now. Yes.
Silly old fool. Rose! Rose, where are you? Oh, confound the girl. She ought to be back by this time. What's she doing?
Oh, Mr. Plumtree! Mr. Plumtree! Oh, Mr. Plumtree, can I come in? Oh,
good heavens. My dear young lady, you'd better come into the sitting room. Come on now.
Thank you, sir.
I'll give you a glass of wine. Now, sit down and tell me what's the matter.
Oh, sir. He hit me. I dared go back and I saw you were in. I thought you could help me. He hit me cruel hard. He didn't ought to do that, did he? Did he, Mr. Plumtree?
No, he certainly did not. Why did he hit you?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, he's been in a state like ever since they found that body. Oh, he's real shocking sometimes. I can't tell you. Oh, and if he finds me here...
Well, you'd better go home to your mother's. You shouldn't stay here.
You don't think he's found out about that thing I took, do you?
What thing? Really, you're a very silly girl, Rose, aren't you? I gather you've stolen something. Well, what was it?
Oh, sir, it was only a bra. It was lying in the corner under the curtain. It was ever so pretty pink, it was, with rosebuds on the straps. And it was my size, too, a size 38. So, well, I took it. He never said nothing, but then he's like that, and months later...
And
he...
when did you take this?
Well, you think I can't tell you, but I can, see. I'm not so daft as he thinks. Now, it was just over a year ago... The day the school broke up. I know that because he said I needed a bit of holiday, like, and said I could go home. Now, he's never done that before. Then the next day, I came in early, and I sees it on the floor. So I took it and wore it. Lasted ever such a long time, too. Real pretty it was.
Well, I don't fancy Dr. Heslop will bring the matter up. Your best plan, Rose, is to go home until things have quietened down a bit. Here's 10 shillings to help you with the affair.
Thank you, sir. He can't do anything to me, can he?
No, he can't. In fact, I think he'd better bloody well not try.
Mr. Plumtree, that's no language to use to a girl.
Dear, you're perfectly right. I do so apologise. Now, run along home. There's a good girl. You'll catch the 6:20 bus if you hurry.
Bye-bye, sir.
Was it really only a year ago Queenie was here in this room?
Funny, seeing you after all these years, Matt.
A bit different there, wasn't it, Queenie Loaf? It was, Matthew, come here, I'll turn the eye off you. And you saying, don't mind them, Loaf, Queenie will look after you. Well, I've not forgotten. You don't forget people who save your life and reason.
Hey, that's over and done with. You're a famous man now, me boyo. Oh, well. I've got to see a man about a dog. Or maybe it's a wolf about a girl.
Yeah, be careful, my dear. Wolves bite.
Not me, they don't. Oh, hell. There's my strap gone. Have you got a safety pin, darling? I can't walk around with my bra half down.
Oh.
Hey, come on, you've done worse than that in your time. It's only old Queenie, after all. Pin it up for me, there's a love.
Oh, that's...
There. Ta-ra, Matt. I'll come and say goodbye to you. Still, I love him. I'll forgive him. I'll go with him wherever he goes.
But she never did. Oh, Queenie. It can't be true. Not you, love. Anyone but you. Where are you, girl? Where are you?
Miss Fanny, dear, where are you? I want to talk to you. Oh, hello, silly old Brennan. Miss Fanny says you're to tell me my story.
If you want your story, ask for it properly.
Please, Brennan, may I have my story?
You're a young devil. Okay. Once upon a time, there was a lady called Miss Fenny.
Oh.
And one day she came to visit silly old Brennan to cook his dinner for him. Only, unfortunately, just as she was serving him his tripe and onions, she knocked against the handle of the saucepan, and all the onions got entangled in her yellow hair. Good grief, what have I done now? Daniel!
The beast! Pig! You're making fun of my darling Miss Fenny. I hate you. I think you're the horridest, nastiest man I've ever met.
Oh, for pity's sake, listen. Listen. You don't give me a chance to finish the story. Poor Miss Fenny is there with her curls full of onions. Mm. But she's got guts, that girl, and a small thing like that doesn't inconvenience her. Mm. She turns on that horrid man, Mr. Brennan, picks up the saucepan and throws it at him so that the tripe smacks him in the face and then all the other pans fall down on him, so... I'm not at all sure if I don't take exception to this. Honestly. So I'm forgiven now, am I? Smothered in tripe, bruised from head to foot, but forgiven.
I knew you wouldn't really hurt Miss Fenny. He did.
Who's he?
Oh, I can't tell you. I promised not to.
Oh, well, if you promised. Where's Mummy?
She's downstairs. She's got a headache, so I went to bed early, and I didn't make a fuss.
Oh, you're too good to be true. Oh, I'd better go down and see how she is. Do you want anything before I go? Glass of water? Half a dozen time bombs? Tripe?
Oh, you are funny, Brennan.
Oh, I am. Have you got a book to read?
I don't want one, thank you. Miss Fenny's coming to see me.
Well, give the girl my love. Good night.
Oh, Miss Fenny. Miss Fenny, dear. I've never forgotten that day in the garden with you. Hello, lady.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, I've heard about you. You're Daniel, aren't you?
Yes, I'm Daniel. What's your name?
Oh, well, I've got two names, love. If you saw me on the stage, you'd call me Belle Lefanu. Belle Lefanu. Miss Lefanu, that's me, mate.
Miss Fenny. Miss Fenny.
You can call me that, love, if you want to. My real name's Queenie, but that's not the sort to look good in lights. Oh, never mind me. What about you? Can't you walk at all, Danny boy?
No.
Ah, you poor little kid. It's a shame.
You've got a shiny gold tooth.
Shh. That's me bank balance, me boyo. When I'm skint, I take a tooth along to Uncle and he gives me some money. And then one of a billet, I pop the tooth in. So, and all is hunky-dory.
Could I have a gold tooth, too?
When you're my age, my boy, we'll see about it. Perhaps you'll think different then. And now, what can I do for you, Danny boy, to cheer you up?
You could tell me a story like Brennan. He's awfully nice, I like him.
Well, then I like him, too. But I don't know any stories. How about a bit of song and dancing?
Oh, yes, yes, please.
Well, then, what shall it be? A little, what you fancy, that's your gold tooth. I've always fancied myself as Marie Lloyd. Oh, there's rings on my fingers and bells on my toes. Elephants to ride upon my little Irish rose. So, no. I know what you like. Oh, when I was single, I wore a black shawl. Now that I'm married, I've nothing at all. Still, I'll love him. I'll forgive him. I'll go with him wherever he goes. Oh, I like an apple, and I like a pear. And I'm fond of a fella with nice curly hair. Still, I'll love him. I'll forgive him. I'll go with him wherever he goes.
Oh, more, please, more.
Did you like it? Well, he comes down our alley and whistles me out. And when I get out there, he knocks me about.
Oh, Miss Fenny.
But still I love him. I'll forgive him. I'll go with him wherever he goes. He took me to an alehouse and ordered some stout. But before I could drink it, he'd ordered me out. Still, I love him, I'll forgive him, I'll go with him wherever he goes.
Oh, again, oh. Again, please, again.
Have a heart, love.
Ooh. Ooh, give the old girl a chance to get her breath back, will you? Here, I must kick my shoes off a minute.
Have you come here to see the old village church?
No, not really. Danny boy, do you know a Dr. Heslop?
Yes, he's my doctor. He comes to see me every day. He doesn't visit anyone as much as he visits me.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess I've come to see a nasty old man about a dog. And when I see him, he's a right bastard, is that one?
A right bastard!
Shh, love, ooh, your man will be after me with a carving knife. Ooh. Swearing's a habit like any other. I always used to vow I'd never swear in front of my little sister. Do you know, in 5 minutes, there I was, saying all the things I've promised myself not to say.
Is your little sister my age?
Oh, no, love. She'd be, let me see now. She'd 26 come Christmas. There were 11 of us, and she was the youngest. She came down south, you know, she worked near here. She's gone now, poor love. And it's all his fault, and he thinks I don't know it, but I do. I saw the box which had the pills in it, and she kept his letters too. They're all here in my handbag. You see?
Oh, I had a box like that once. Dr. Heslop gave it me. It had pills in it too.
She liked folks, did our Kathy. And now there's no one to walk at her side but the wind. She was always afraid of the dark and cold. She'd call me into her bed. Come and cuddle me, our Queenie. It's dark and cold, and I'm afraid. Now there's not even me to hold her hand.
Is she dead?
Oh, God forgive me, what am I telling you? No, of course she's not dead, me boyo. She'll never be dead while I'm alive. Perhaps not even after. It's not so easy to make people dead. They bob up again when you least expect it.
Tell me more about your brothers and sisters.
Oh, we had fun. We were as poor as dirt, but our mum was good to us, and we had each other, and God didn't let us starve. There was even enough for poor little Matt Plumtree.
Mr. Plumtree? The funny man who writes books. Do you know him?
I know him, all right. Poor little creature he was and all. It does my heart good to see him as he is now.
Is it Dr. Heslop you want to see?
Here, look. Look, me little darling. You and me, I'll have a secret, eh? Just you and me. Don't tell Dr. Heslop I'm calling, will you?
I promise. Cross my heart.
Do you like Dr. Heslop, Danny?
Oh, he's all right. He says I'm very interesting. He says I may get better, but I don't think he means it.
Well, I say you'll get better, and I do mean it. Here, let's have a look at your hand, lovey.
Oh, do you tell fortunes?
I do and all. Now, give me your hand, and old Gypsy Queenie will tell the little gentleman the fortune for him. Now, let's have a look. There. What did I tell you? Now, that's the lifeline, Danny boy.
Oh, you're tickling me.
And it goes on and on and on. You live to be 100, and the Queen will write you a letter. And as for the love line...
Let me look at your hand. Oh, please, please do.
Oh, it's no lady's hand. I used to work in mills.
Your lifeline breaks off. Mine goes right round the thumb.
Blow me down. I never noticed before. Oh, well, that means that I shall find myself a handsome husband and 10,000 a year. Well, Danny, here's to long life. And next time I see you, you'll be hopping all over the garden.
Oh, don't go. Don't go.
Oh, darling, I've things to do. Here, like my new shoes, love. Mm. Yes, well, you see, I have these made by a friend of mine. Special they are. But of course, my feet's my fortune, after all. Oh,
please, don't go.
Sweetheart, I must. But I'll still love you. I'll forgive you. I'll be with you wherever you go. Ta-da, darling. Oh,
Miss Fanny, you will come back again, won't you?
I'll be back, Danny boy. I'll be back.
Mummy! Mummy, where's Miss Fanny? Mummy!
Here's your paper, Mr. Brennan. We're really in the news, aren't we?
Oh, no. just not possible.
Fancy it being our Queenie Holroyd, and we were talking about her yesterday. She's got the whole of the front page, even in the London papers. Lancashire Irish girl meets her doom in Branksome Woods. And, wait, I think it's this one. There's a long article on Belle Lefanu as I knew her. Are you all right, Mr. Brennan? You look a bit under the weather.
I'm all right.
Fancy anybody wanting to murder a nice girl like that.
And I touched her bone.
I'll forgive him, I'll be with him wherever he goes.
Oh, hello.
Yeah?
Funny. Such big woods here, and you go for a walk all in your lonesome, and you almost step on somebody all on his lonesome, too. Chatty type. You're the schoolmaster, aren't you? The kid talked about you.
Who are you?
Oh, you can call me Queenie Love. Do you mind if I sit down? Queenie Holroyd. And then when you come to Blackpool, ask for Belle Lefanu. The customers like a bit of glamour, and Belle Lefanu sounds more arty-tarty.
Are you on holiday, then? I shouldn't have thought Branksome Parva was your kind of place.
I'm looking for a man.
Oh, no,
not what you mean. It's a right bastard I'm looking for. And I'll get him if I have to go to hell and back to do it. It wasn't my poor lamb's fault, it was his. And him so gentlemanly and all. Ooh, I can see the end of him. You don't have much hair on your chest, do you?
Well, what the hell's that to do with you? I'm not on duty now. There's no law against a man taking his shirt off, is there?
You can take everything off if you like, love. Of course, it costs a hell of a lot to come down here. Me always skint, but it'll be worth it. Once he sees what I've got in my handbag.
And who is this gentleman you're out gunning for?
Well, never you mind me, boyo. It's not to do with you.
Oh, I beg your pardon. It was you who were doing the talking. I couldn't care less personally who he is.
Oh, what's the matter with you, matey? I thought you looked pretty blue when I saw you just now. What's up, love?
Nothing. Oh, all right. I've just quarreled with my girl, Queenie.
Oh.
Dan, her husband, was killed in a crash, and poor lass, she still thinks of nothing else. I want to marry her, but Dan will always be bundling in between us. And today I forgot myself. It's not easy to be controlled when you're so much in love. And now she'll never forgive me. It's as if there were a 20-foot wall between us.
Poor little lass. I never loved anyone that bad. It's tough on you. You seem a nice sort of fella, too.
I wish she thought so.
But you are. I wouldn't have said no to you myself when I was younger.
Wouldn't you? Oh, hell, Queenie. Hell. What a bloody awful life it is, isn't it?
It is.
Would you be very angry if I kissed you?
Why should I? Come here, lad.
Mr. Brennan, you haven't taken your cigarettes. Well, I don't know. I suppose I better put them away. Hello, Doctor. You're out early. Isn't the news dreadful?
Oh, it's the silly season. The newspapers have nothing else to print.
I see Rose is back. I suppose she was staying with her mum.
Rose? Oh, yes, I gave her a bit of a holiday. Thanks, Mrs. Tate. I'd better take some matches, too.
Matches, right, Dr. Haslop.
Oh, not you again, Mike. I almost get the impression you're trailing me. Is this some kind of juvenile game?
Oh, no, Dr. Haslop. It's the holidays, you know. I just wander about.
Then, my son, I suggest that you just wander off again.
Yes, Dr. Haslop.
Are you being impertinent? Oh, I've no time to waste on little boys like you. Well, Rose, so you've decided to come back to me, have you?
I thought you might need me.
Now, what, I wonder, put such a strange idea into your head?
I'd better get on with the filing.
Oh, no, just a moment, Rose. What did you do when you walked out on me?
I just went home.
And what did you do before you went home?
It wasn't my fault. I couldn't help it. He asked me in.
Who asked you in?
Mr. Plumtree.
How very nice. And what did you talk to Mr. Plumtree about?
Sir, it was that bra. I didn't mean to take it. Honest, I didn't. But it was just lying there and it was so pretty. And
that settles Plumtree.
I didn't mean to.
So you've become a thief, have you? Oh, well, the police will be interested.
Oh, please, please don't tell the police. James, you mustn't. I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. I swear I won't.
Well, I don't really want to put you in prison. All right, then, but stop howling. And no more stealing, Rose. And for your own sake, I shouldn't mention this matter to anyone else. Unless, of course, you want to end up in jail.
No. Oh, you're very good to me, James.
I think I am, too. Come, wash your face, for God's sake, and do something to your hair. Get me my appointments book. I'm in a hurry. And make a note that I'm seeing Daniel this morning. Daniel, and how's Miss Fenny's pain today?
Oh, it's all gone now, and she's rich again.
What do you mean?
Oh, I don't think he knows what he means himself. Do up your jacket, darling, or you'll catch cold.
I do know what I mean. It's her gold tooth. When she's poor, she takes it out. And when she's rich, she puts it in again. Could I have a gold tooth too, Dr. Heslop?
How did you know that she had a...
Nicole, are you upstairs?
Oh, Tim, come on up. I'm with Daniel.
Well, I'd better be on my way.
Miss Fenny will be coming to see you about the 11 babies.
11 babies?
That's what she said. I expect she knows you can always send a pain away.
My operations are always successful.
As is no doubt verified by the post-mortem findings.
I don't find that amusing, Brennan.
James, Tim, what is the matter with both of you?
I think the heat has affected my friend Brennan's sense of humor.
It might be the news.
What news? Oh, James, you stay and have a glass of sherry.
No, I have an urgent matter to see to.
They found out who the murdered woman is. Her name is Queenie Holroyd. Haven't you seen the paper?
Oh, wasn't that the woman who came here last year? A vulgar little creature with peroxide hair?
Yes, Nicole. But I don't think either her vulgarity or her hair provided justifications for murder. I'm going in to say goodnight to Daniel.
Are you sure you won't have a drink, James?
No, there's no time. I have a great deal to do. Nicole, I'm not very happy about Daniel.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't wish to alarm you, but the child is not well. Not well at all. These fantasies of his have grown so very strong. I feel that his mind is overtaxing his body.
You mean, you think he's going to die?
Of course he isn't going to die. Don't be silly, Nicole. I thought you were sensible enough for me to discuss things frankly. But try to make him think of something else than that Miss Fenny of his.
Oh, Miss Fenny, I could kill her.
Yes, but as you can't, you can try at least to stop the child talking about it all the time. For his own sake. Now, I really must go. I'll look in again this evening. Goodbye, Nicole.
Goodbye, James. Oh, my little Daniel. My poor little Daniel.
Good heavens, I've never seen such gaps. We'll have to fix you with a denture.
I'm having a gold tooth. Miss Fenny is going to help me buy it. Her uncle keeps them for her when she's poor. I've lots of money, Brennan. Mummy gives me sixpence for all my tooths.
Teeth, not tooth. Are you talking baby talk now? And why are you so set on gold teeth?
Miss Fenny has them. I told you. And she says her uncle...
I didn't know Miss Fenny had an uncle.
Yes, he helps her when she's skint.
When she's what?
Skint. What's the matter, Brennan? Why are you staring at me? It's rude to stare.
Shut up for just one moment. You go on and on like a cistern, only with you one can't pull the plug.
Brennan, that's not a nice thing to say.
Daniel, will you please tell me something? I'm being serious now. When did you first meet Miss Fenny? Oh, listen, Danny, you're the pest of Braxton Parver, and I love you with all my heart. Can't you tell me? I think it's perhaps rather important.
I can't.
Why not?
I promised I wouldn't. Not till Miss Fenny comes back. I can't.
Oh, all right. Only I don't think Miss Fenny will be back, Ben.
She will. She promised. Why are you shivering, Brennan? It's very hot, I think.
Oh, it's nothing. I'll tell you a special story tonight, shall I? A French story.
Oh, yes, please. You've never told me a French story before.
This happened a long, long time ago in a country 1,000 miles away from here. Mm-hmm. A lady lived there, a most beautiful lady, and she was courted by a handsome knight called Daniel Le Beau.
I don't see why it's Daniel Le Beau. I think that sounds silly. Daniel Beau is a nice name. You can't stick the Le in.
All French aristocrats have Le in their names. Am I telling this story, or are you?
I think it's rather a soppy story. I want some with fighting in it.
Oh, there's going to be fighting. You wait till Sir Daniel Le Beau has all his teeth knocked out and his beautiful gold ones put in instead.
Oh!
Well, it happened when he was...
Jim, aren't you ever coming down?
Well, I think perhaps I'd better go somehow. I'm sorry, Daniel. I'll finish the story tomorrow. Do you mind very much?
Oh, it's all right, I suppose. Bye.
Oh, when I was single, I wore a black shawl.
Miss
now
Fenny,
that I'm
dear.
Married, I'm
Miss
nothing
Le
at all.
Fenny. Still, oh, Miss Le Fenny, when are you coming back again?
I'll go with him wherever he goes.
Tim, James says Daniel is going to die.
What? What infernal nonsense is this?
It's that beastly Miss Fenny. It's like one of those stories where the dead come back and feed on the living. Oh, I'm so frightened, so frightened. If Daniel dies, I shall die too. He's all I have left. I couldn't go on without
him. Nicole, Daniel is not going to die.
But you don't know. How can you know?
I do know. Daniel is not going to die. Miss Fenny will never harm a little boy. This is nonsense, pure hysteria. Do you want to kill him?
Do I?
Oh, can't
you? No, I won't be kissed. Let me go.
I will not let you go. You think of nothing but death, Nicole. You think it's the easy way out, but it isn't always. And the dead don't always die, you know. Think of living instead. Daniel is going to live for many years and walk again, too. And I'm going to call him Heslop and knock the hell out of him.
Oh, you are not to, Tim. I forbid it.
According to modern psychology, you should never say don't. You should propose an attractive alternative. You should say, instead of knocking Heslop down, you must kiss me, which would at least be constructive.
Oh, Tim, I do like you so much. Please do kiss me instead of knocking James down.
But this is a gala day. Wait a minute while I take off my coat.
Must you undress before you kiss me?
Oh, I want more purchase for my arms. Do you mind if I take my tie off too? It won't take a moment.
Tim.
There. I better not remove anything else or the village will grow overexcited. You may come here now. I'm ready.
You're crazy.
Crazy indeed. The trouble with you is you have no respect for me. Well, I'll teach you. Come here. If you don't, I'll bash dear James to pieces.
Oh, Tim.
Daniel is not going to die. Is that clear? Why, if he did, he'd be screwing sixpence out of the Almighty for one of his beastly teeth. You mustn't move. My subconscious is still urging me to black the doctor's eye.
I don't want to move. Darling, darling Tim.
Well, there's some point in living, don't you think?
Mm.
Oh, where's that jacket of mine? Ah, Nicole?
Yes?
Tomorrow, you and I are going out together.
Oh, but Tim,
now, don't start arguing. I'm telling you, we're going to Braxham Woods where we shall picnic, and I shall do my best to make you so drunk that I can seduce you. Mrs. Tate will babysit for us. You know how fond she is of Daniel. And you will wear a pretty frock for me as if I were someone important and not silly old Brennan, the family friend. 7 o'clock in the morning, I'll be round, and don't keep me waiting.
I'll be ready, Tim.
And now, I think I'd better take a little walk to cool myself down. I wish this storm would break. It's damnably hot. I think I'll go down to the mill stream.
Mr. Brennan! Mr. Brennan! I must speak to you!
Mike, go away. I'm not in the mood.
Oh, but this is important. I was talking to Miss Brooks and I heard all about what Dr. Heslop said to her. And then
look here, Mike. I've had just about enough of this. You seem to spend your whole day hanging around making a damn nuisance of yourself. If you've nothing better to do, you could always do a little work, you know.
Well, if someone else is murdered, you'll be sorry.
Going for a walk, Mr. Plumtree?
It really is too hot to work. I think I'll sit by the mill stream for a while.
You don't look very well, sir. Mm. Is anything wrong? Oh, I expect you're upset about that poor lady. Did you really know her when you were young?
Yes. You find that hard to believe, don't you? I live in a smart, bright world, Mrs. Tate. I write smart, bright books, and I make a great deal of money. And you know, I'd give up the lot to have our Queenie back again.
It's funny what an effect she's had on us all. Even Dr. Heslop looks quite upset. Such a handsome man, I always think, but really, he looks quite old these last few days.
Oh, Dr. Heslop, you quite startled me. I didn't see you standing there.
I've been watching you for some time.
No patients in need of your attention today?
I have more urgent matters to attend to. You're sitting very near the water, Plumtree. Hmm? May I ask if you're able to swim?
No, I... Why are you looking at me like that? You're looking as if you want to kill me. You always get so dreadfully cross, don't you? Telling Miss Brooks such things and frightening the life out of poor little Rose.
You're remarkably well informed.
Yes, I believe I am. Tell me, Dr. Heslop. I'm always interested in such matters. What are your views on the subject of abortion?
How interesting that you should ask me that. But surely it would be more valuable to you to know my views on euthanasia. I have never seen why the unfit should be kept alive. And by unfit, Plumtree, I mean useless, interfering little busybodies who have nothing better to do than to stick their noses into what doesn't concern them.
Do you imagine you'd get away with another murder?
Another? Oh, if I accepted the hypothesis that I'd already committed a murder, I might say why not. If, that is, there are no witnesses and my intended victim was suitably placed. If perhaps he was someone who couldn't swim and sitting on the banks of a deep and rushing stream.
You wouldn't dare.
Help! Help!
I'm afraid there's nobody here apart from ourselves. You seem very nervous, Mr. Plumtree. Perhaps a little cold water would calm you.
Oh, no! Help!
Enjoy your swim, Mr. Plumtree.
What in God's name's going on here? Plumtree! Hold on, man, I'm coming. Now, hang on to me. There you are. Now, take it easy. You're all right. We'll get you along to Heslop in no time. Pity's sake.
I feel my nerves a little out of order. I don't know how to thank you. You saved my life.
Well, you didn't expect me to let you drown, did you?
Oh.
What on earth were you doing to fall in like that? You must know how dangerous the mill stream is, especially in midsummer.
Actually, I was being murdered.
What?
I was pushed.
Who pushed you?
Well, you mustn't ask me any more questions. I can't tell you anything more.
This beats everything. You knew Queenie well, didn't you?
Ah, she was champion. Real champion. We grew up together. My father drank. He beat me a great deal. I'd never have survived if Queenie hadn't been there. I loved her. I hope I may live to see her murderer punished as he deserves.
You loved her, yet you won't tell me who her murderer is, though I presume this same murderer has just tried to do for you. It wouldn't by any chance be Dr. Heslop, would it?
My dear sir, I don't know why.
Oh, come off it, Plumtree. I don't think it requires great brilliance to make such a deduction. And suppose this unknown murderer strikes again. Suppose he aims at some perfectly inoffensive person, a child perhaps, as it were Daniel. Would you want Daniel to die because you choose to withhold vital evidence?
I can't. You wouldn't understand. It's the police. I was so ill-used as a child. Authority to me means blows and kicks and worse. It's what the psychologists call a trauma. I can't help it. It's something deep inside me.
You're a damn coward. You're rich, you have a place in the sun, and yet you won't lift your little finger to save a baby from a bloody murderer. I think you might at least reconsider the matter. Only be quick. The sands are running out. I don't think very much of you, Plumtree, and I don't think Queenie would think very much of you either.
Dr. Heslop, Miss Fenny's brought Mike to see me. He's been telling me stories.
They seem so happy together. You're a nice boy, Mike, spending so much of your time with my naughty little son.
I've nothing much else to do. It's the holidays. Someone has to keep an eye on him.
You seem to spend your time keeping an eye on people, Mike. Well, Daniel, I brought you some nasty medicine to do you a lot of good.
Will it do Miss Fenny good, too? Oh, no, you're spilling it. Mummy, Dr. Heslop's made a mess on my clean sheets.
Oh, darling, don't fuss so.
Miss Fenny says you're a right bastard, Dr. Heslop. That's what you are.
Blackie, young Daniel, where did you learn that one? I never taught you that.
Daniel!
What did you say?
He didn't mean it. He doesn't know what he's saying.
That's what Miss Fenny says. She's coming to see you, and with the pills. You're horrid to her, and you mustn't be so horrid because she's a French aristocrat.
Shut up.
Brennan says so, and her name is really Le Fenny. Le Fenny! Le Fenny, that's her name. I remember now. Miss Le Fenny. She's got two names, and that's one of them. Take this medicine away. No.
honestly, like the pills. Don't look at me like
you
that.
You naughty boy. Let me wipe your coat, James. Oh, I'm so sorry. I hope it doesn't stain. You say you're sorry, Daniel. Do you hear me?
I don't think he meant to throw it, Mrs. Sherritt. I think it just fell.
I won't say I'm sorry. I hate him. He's bad.
James, I don't know how to apologize.
Don't be cross with him, Mrs. Sherritt. I expect it's my fault for overexciting him.
My dear Nicole, what a carry-on over a little boy's tantrums.
Well, old son, you didn't mean it, did you?
Don't come near me. You're a horrid man. You want to hurt me as you hurt her. I hate you.
Well, well, what a temper. But I know you don't mean it. You're just overtired. Come, Danny, let's be friends again. Shake hands.
I think we'd better leave him. Come on, Mike. Daniel is too naughty for anyone to stay with him.
Please, Mrs. Sherritt, do let me stay. He's so upset, I don't think he's well.
Didn't you hear what Mrs. Sherritt said, Mike?
I heard a lot of things, Dr. Heslop.
We're all going to leave him until he says he's sorry.
Good night, Mrs. Sherritt.
Good night, Mike. James, Tim and I are going out all tomorrow. Mrs. Tate will be babysitting, but perhaps you'd just look in to see if he's all right.
Yes, I'll look after him, Nicole. I'll call before supper tomorrow.
I'm ready, Tim. Daniel wants to say goodbye to you. He's watching us from the window.
Bye, Daniel. Miss Fenny coming to see you today?
No.
Why not? Well, have a good day. We'll be back tonight. Bye.
What's the matter with him, Nicole? He seems so remote.
I don't think he's forgiven me for last night. What have you got in that bag, Tim? It looks very heavy.
That's our lunch. Ooh. Oh, don't be greedy. We haven't had breakfast yet. What happened last night?
He threw his medicine all over poor James.
Attaboy.
Oh, you always encourage him. It was disgraceful, and you know that as well as I do.
And what did Heslop say to this baptism?
Oh, he was terribly nice about it. I slapped him.
Dr. Heslop, good-o. I hope you did it hard. You wouldn't like me to do it again for you, would you?
Oh, Tim, you know perfectly well what I mean. You don't think it will make a permanent mark, do you?
Oh, good heavens.
I mean, the psychologists say children remember these things, and later on it might affect his whole behavior.
What you mean is a trauma. Oh, stuff and nonsense. It won't harm him. Though, personally, I'd give him a medal.
You are very naughty, Tim.
You better slap me, then. But after breakfast. I won't be slapped before breakfast. It's against my principles.
Watcher, Mrs. Tate.
You're out bright and early, Mike. Wasn't it a storm last night? You should hear them all going on about the phone.
What do you mean?
Well, the line's down. There isn't a phone working in the village. Even the police have had to go off to Braxa Magna because of it. The engineers say they can't do anything about it till tomorrow.
Oh, Lord.
Well, I don't see that it affects you. What are you going to do with yourself today?
I see. I'll have to do a spot of tailing, Mrs. Tate. Dr. Heslop gone out yet?
I don't know you boys with your games. You know, I was just thinking how strange it is that we'll never see that poor Miss Olroyd again. I think I must have been the last person to see her. Gives me quite a grue, really. I was walking down the street and I saw her go into the doctor's house. She must have been murdered just after that. No one ever saw her again. Now, what's the matter, Mike? Your eyes will fall out if you stay like that.
Nothing. You've just told me something I wanted to know. That's all.
Ah, let's sit here for a bit.
Yes. Oh, it's so peaceful. I could go to sleep.
Nicole.
Oh, Tim, don't. That's my hair. That hurts. You're behaving like a little boy.
I'll behave like a big boy now, shall I?
I don't mind.
May I make love to you? I don't mind if you do. I can see you're the passionate kind, Nicole. Now, you better have a cigarette. It keeps the midges off. It might keep me off, too. Tell me about Dan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't ask you if you were sorry. I want to hear about Dan.
But I am sorry. Only it's as if half of me wasn't there. Will it always be like this to the end of my life? Please say what you think.
I'm not your priest, Nicole. I'm an ordinary man, and I want to hold you in my arms and make love to you and marry you and live with you for the rest of my life. That's all. And now, tell me how you met Dan.
We met in a Paris café 3 years after the war.
Have you got all my appointments ready, Rose?
Yes, Doctor.
Oh, and I want you to ring...
Oh, there's no phone, Doctor. All the lines are down after the storm.
Oh, that is quite remarkably convenient.
Convenient? No phone convenient?
I only mean that I can get on with my work without being suddenly called away.
Oh.
You've put me down for young Daniel this evening, have you?
Yes, Dr. Eslop. He's not worse, is he? He goes so often these days.
No, he's not worse. He's not better either. One day he'll go out like a candle.
Oh.
Yes, it'll be the best thing. And that goes for no good creatures like this damned Miss LaFenny who's got herself murdered.
Miss LaFenny?
Well, she's just a common little prostitute after all. She and that miserable, tantrumy little boy are best out of the way. I'm going. You can keep any messages for me, but they're not likely to be many without the phone.
Hello, Dr. Heslop.
Look, my friend, I think I've already spoken to you about your fondness for hanging around.
Have you, sir?
Are you trying to be impertinent?
Oh, no, sir, of course not, sir.
If I have any more of this, I'm going to give you the biggest thrashing you ever had in your life.
Well, that's very kind of you, sir.
In any case, I'm afraid you can't spy on me any longer, unless, of course, you're capable of running at the speed of 60 miles an hour. I have an urgent confinement to see to, so by all means, run after me if you want to. No? You're slipping, Mike. Well, in that case, I'm afraid I must say goodbye to you.
Has he gone? I want to see Mr. Plumtree.
Yes, he's gone.
Did you say Heslop was gone?
Oh, yes, and I must speak to you, Mr. Plumtree. He's ill-wishing the kid, and I think he's going to do him a mischief. And he talked about that poor lady as Miss LaFenny. I don't understand what it's all about, but you must do something.
I am going to do something. I'm now going to Braxton Magna to inform the police. I fear I should have done it a long time ago. The phone would be out of order just today. Boy?
Yes, sir?
Why aren't you following him?
Oh, how the hell could I? I can't run after a car. I think he's going to murder Daniel.
And on that point, we're all agreed. Don't squall at me, boy. Rose can tell you where he's going from his appointments book.
Yes, I get it.
You will go after him on Mr. Brennan's bicycle.
But Mr. Brennan will kill me.
Do you want Dr. Heslop to kill Daniel?
All right, Mr. Plumtree. I'll take the bike.
That's the boy.
Here you are, Mike. Look.
Thanks.
Get there as quickly as you can. Do everything to delay him. Sabotage his car in some way.
Yes, Mr. Plumtree.
Oh, I hope he gets there in time.
He must. And so must I.
We only had a year and a half, Tim. And now Danny's dead. And my poor little Daniel. What future is there for him? He'll always have to be looked after. I think that dreadful woman, Queenie, is luckier than I because she's dead. She's out of it all.
Oh, everything you say is so shockingly wrong. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never forgive me, but I'm going to tell you all the same.
What do you mean?
Just this. Do you remember the quarrel we had when you said I used you like a woman of the streets?
Oh, must you bring that up again?
Yes, I think I must. We quarreled, didn't we? A real ding-donger. You took the hell out of me and I took hell out of the whole damn world. And I took my miseries into the woods and there I met Queenie and made love to her.
You made love to her?
I did indeed. I know I might as well talk to this beech tree for all you'll understand me, but it was sweet and wholesome and natural and far more moral, believe me, than your own behavior. We liked each other, and afterwards we said goodbye and liked each other rather more than before. And the world shot back into place, Nicole. And I came back to you. You were, if you care to remember, damn glad to see me. You owe that to vulgar Queenie with her dyed hair. Queenie, who's now as dead as mutton, poor lass. Though it seems as if our bones won't lie down.
But it's disgusting. Do you think I could ever bear you to touch me again?
Don't worry, I'll not touch you. Go back to Dan.
No.
We are finished, you and I. I can't compete with the dead. Oh, stop crying, girl. You're obsessed with death.
No.
All right, I'm giving death the right of way. Live with your dead, sleep with your dead, pull the skeleton arms tightly round you. I could have given you life again, but you don't want it. You never want it.
You can't ever have loved me if you could sleep with a woman you met once in the woods.
Oh,
oh, Tim! Tim, come back! Come back!
I've done it! I've done it!
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Heslop. And you really think she'll be all right now?
Yes, don't worry.
Thanks.
Give me a ring tomorrow when the phone's on again.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Oh, confound it. My bloody tire's flat.
This has been done deliberately. And I think I know who did it. Come out of here, Mike.
Why should I?
You did this, didn't you? I might have known. Fortunately, it doesn't take long to pump up a tire, so I can deal with you and nothing will give me greater pleasure. Come here. Come here! Are you coming, Mike, or do I have to fetch you?
I'm afraid you'll have to come and fetch me, sir.
Gosh, when I get hold of you. Oh,
my arm!
No, you young devil!
You're hurting me!
What the devil's going on here? Are you two playing cowboys and Indians? And are you, Mike, by any chance, the person who had the flaming audacity to pinch my bike?
Oh, damn your beastly bike! He's gone to murder Daniel, and I can't do anything about it!
I can. Come along to my place, Mike. You've done enough. I'll see to this.
Go to sleep like a good boy, Daniel. Mummy will be back soon. I'm going to put the kettle on and make myself a nice cup of tea.
I'm frightened. Mummy, I can't breathe. I feel ill. I think I'm going to die. Oh, why didn't someone come? I'm so frightened. Please, help me. Please.
I was single, I wore a black shawl. Now that I'm married, I've nothing at all. Still, I love him. I'll forgive him.
Miss Fenny, you've come back at last.
Well, Danny boy, you're looking very down in the dumps. That won't do. I thought somehow you might be, so I felt I'd look in and have a bit of a natter with you.
Oh, Miss Fenny, I'm not frightened of anyone anymore.
That's the stuff. You give them all what for. You're a real brave boy.
Won't you come a bit nearer? I can't see you very well. Sing something to me. Oh, Miss Fenny, do, please do. Mummy won't know. She's out with Brennan and Mrs. Tate Silly. She won't even hear. Do sing to me.
Oh, what shall I sing?
Anything.
Now, righty-o, but osh. I wash.
Still I love him. I'll forgive him. I'll be with him when...
What's that?
Now, Danny boy, you're going to do something for me. Oh. Now, you're going to get out of bed and you're going to stand in the corner over there where it's nice and dark.
I'm afraid I can't, Miss Fenny. You see, I can't walk. There's something the matter with my legs. I really don't think I can get out of bed, Miss Fenny.
Have you tried, Danny?
Well, no, not really.
Well, why don't you try now? I'll help you. I'll see you don't fall. Now, just walk over to that corner and stand there ever so still, not saying one word. Come on, darling. Just for Queenie.
I haven't any trousers on.
Oh, blow me down. Come on, Danny. Be a man.
If you really think I can...
I know you can.
All right.
There's me darling boy.
I've come to see Daniel.
Oh, you can't go up now, Mr. Brennan. Dr. Eslop's with him. He came just a second ago.
Get out of my
room. Mr. Brennan! Oh, will I never, pushing me over like that.
Whatever's going on up there?
What do you want? How do you damn this? You filthy bloody swine. I'll kill you, you murdering bastard. Oh, where the hell are you? That's your...
Oh, your daisies, Daniel, you son of a bitch. You're going to land up in court with a rope round your neck.
Brennan, why did you hurt him like that?
Daniel, How did you get over there?
Well, she told me to stand in the corner and not move, and she sang to me too. She sang her song, and she said I could walk, and I did. Only I'm frightened, Brennan. I feel so funny.
Oh, Daniel.
You're squeezing me. Oh, Mommy, I want Mommy.
She's coming, Daniel. Shh. Who told you to stand in the corner? Who?
Oh, you're silly. Miss Fenny, of course.
Tim, I just can't believe it. Daniel's actually walked. He looks all right. He's sound asleep.
Oh, there's a hell of a lot that's hard to believe. It seems there are miracles after all. We shall have a most enjoyable time explaining this one to Scotland Yard. Oh. You're still angry with our Queenie, darling? She might be said to have done us proud, God bless her.
She must have been a wonderful woman.
I'm sorry I blew my top like that. Thank you for coming around to look for me. It was more than I deserved.
But I saw how right you were. I was afraid I'd lost you. I knew that life without you wouldn't be a life at all. I was going to beg your pardon and accept any terms you laid down, any terms at all. I love you so much, Tim.
Do you? Well, I think perhaps it's about time. Come here. You know, Nicole, nothing will stop Mike from being as tiresome as ever next term, showing off, not doing his work, cheeking me. But I think we owe him the kind of debt one can't possibly repay.
Yes.
If the gentleman the police have just carted away hadn't got him a hiding he felt he didn't deserve...
Why, oh, Tim,
don't. Never mind. Only there are so many strands to a rope, and I don't suppose Dr. Heslop will ever quite see how Mike and Rose and Plumtree plaited it together for him. I told you, didn't I, that Daniel wasn't going to die.
I don't want to die either. I'm sick of death, Tim. And I think skeleton arms are rather horrid.
Darling.
Oh. Till I love him, I'll forgive him. I'll go with him wherever he goes.
That was Marjorie Westbury as Queenie Holroyd, Joe Manning Wilson as Daniel Sherritt, and Austin Trevor as Dr. James Heslop in The Woman in the Woods by Charity Blackstock. With Dennis Hawthorne as Tim Brennan, Nicolette Bernard as Nicole Sherritt, Glyn Dearman as Mike Lord, Elizabeth Morgan as Rose, Eric Anderson as Matthew Plumtree, Margaret Wolfitt as Mrs. Tate, Molly Rankin as Miss Brooks. The play, which was recorded, was produced by Audrey Cameron.
On Monday evening in the Home Service, there's a new play by Helena Wood called Dark Origins. The central figure here is an ambitious revolutionary leader, Emilio Vicente, played by Patrick Troughton. Monday evening in the Home Service at 8:30. The light programme on Monday evening has a short play in its 30-minute theatre series. The title is It Could Be a Good Story. A newspaper reporter investigates some curious facts connected with an education trust. The light programme's 30-minute theatre, Monday evening at 8 o'clock. Two main productions on BBC television next week are the Sunday night play by Arnold Wesker and our festival production on Wednesday night of The Fire Raisers by Max Frisch. Arnold Wesker's play is called Menace, the story of people under pressure. In this case, the pressure of living in a lonely bedsitter in London, surrounded by neighbours who are equally lonely. Menace on Sunday night in BBC television at 9 o'clock. The Fire Raisers by Max Frisch, first heard by listeners to the third programme, is our festival production on Wednesday. Two suspected fire raisers visit the obliging Mr. Biederman and make their home in his attic. Why doesn't Mr. Biederman stop them? Alfred Marx, Peter Vaughan and Dudley Foster head the cast of The Fire Raisers on Wednesday night at 9:10 on BBC television.
This is the BBC Home Service. Here is the news, read by John Hobday. Directors of the Norwich Union Insurance Societies have had a special Saturday meeting. They discussed the recent resignation of Lord Mancroft. Further accusations against him have been made by the Arab Office for the Boycott of Israel. President Johnson is to address the United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday week. He says there'll be several cuts of several hundred million dollars in the American defense budget. After the big fire at the West London Air Terminal, the unions have said they will do their best to help the builders get it back into operation quickly. New Zealand beat Ireland by 6-5 in the Rugby Union International in Dublin. Two non-league clubs, Yeovil and Bedford, have reached the third round of the FA Cup. Jimmy Greaves has scored his 200th goal in league matches. The weather, it'll be cold, but mainly dry tomorrow. Last night, and again today, directors of the Norwich Union Insurance Societies met at their headquarters in Norwich. Today's was a full board meeting. The recent resignation of Lord Mancroft, one of the Norwich Union's London directors, was discussed. There's been no statement. Meanwhile, further accusations against Lord Mancroft have been made in Damascus by the Arab Office for the Boycott of Israel. A spokesman claimed that secret inquiries had shown that he had been working towards promoting Israel's economy and that he had Zionist sympathies. In Cairo, a spokesman for the Arab League said there had been unjust Zionist propaganda in Britain following Lord Mancroft's resignation. He said the Arab boycott was not based on racial or religious discrimination, but was aimed at protecting the security of Arab states. The boycott office didn't know Lord Mancroft himself was a Jew before the row over his resignation. Our diplomatic correspondent says this Arab office is not recognized by Western governments, including Britain, and therefore there is no official comment in London on its activities. But the consequences of the Norwich Union surrender may well be far-reaching and may mark a new phase in Middle East politics. President Johnson is to address the United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday week. He announced this to reporters at the White House, whom he'd asked into his office today for coffee and a chat. The president said he wanted to meet delegates before the assembly broke up for Christmas. He said he'd had a lot of invitations to visit countries abroad, but he felt that his place was in the United States for some time yet, and he recalled that he'd be having talks in Washington early next year with leaders of some Western European countries, including Britain. President Johnson spoke about cuts in the defense budget he'll be sending to Congress next month. It'll be lower than the present one by several hundred million dollars. Among other measures, he had approved a plan of the Defense Secretary, Mr. McNamara, to reduce the civilian staff of the Defense Department to under a million for the first time for nearly 14 years. Mr. McNamara himself gave more details about the proposed staff cuts later. He said they'd include some foreign, civilian, and military personnel at American establishments overseas. Altogether, these cuts would mean a reduction of $1,500 million, more than £500 million, in the defense budget. Builders of the new £5 million West London Air Terminal, which was severely damaged by fire last night, have been told they can count on the full support of the unions in getting the building back into working order as soon as possible. This was announced after shop stewards have been called together. During the day, about 150 workmen have been clearing away the debris of the fifth floor, which collapsed onto the fourth, erecting a temporary roof over the fourth floor and restoring electrical and other services. London busmen are to continue their 5 weeks-old ban on overtime. After a delegate conference today, a spokesman said it would go on until the busmen are promised a satisfactory interim increase in wages. The government inquiry into the busmen's pay and conditions this week, London Transport said they felt there should be certain increases. For example, drivers of the Red Central buses should get 15 shillings a week more on the minimum rate, but gave no promise of an interim award. Union representatives had asked for 30 shillings. Hopes that people in West Berlin would be able to visit their friends and relations in the communist eastern sector of the city at Christmas time are fading. The East German authorities, having offered to negotiate a system of permits with the West Berlin authorities, have now attacked them for consulting the federal government in Bonn, which they claim has no say in the matter. They've also made it clear that they want to establish permit offices in West Berlin. A proposal which the West Berlin authorities have always rejected and which the Western Allies specifically banned when it was first put forward. All in all, says our Berlin correspondent, the outlook for an agreement seems to be no better than it was before Christmas of last year and the year before, when the East German offers were rejected because the price was considered too high. A few days before Kenya achieves independence, a correspondent in Nairobi reports that the Prime Minister, Mr. Jomo Kenyatta, seems to be succeeding in his appeal to the leaders of the Mau Mau terrorist organization to give themselves up. He has promised them free pardons if they'll abandon their lawless lives. Today, one Mau Mau general and his followers surrendered personally to Mr. Kenyatta. Many other terrorists have also come out of hiding. Today's sport. And in rugby union, New Zealand won the first international of their tour, beating Ireland in Dublin, but by only 6-5. Ireland led 5-3 at half-time, but in the second half, Don Clark settled the issue with a 40-yard penalty. The shock result in the second round of the FA Cup was the win by Yeovil, renowned as cup fighters, over 3rd Division Crystal Palace 3-1. The only other non-league club definitely through to the third round is Bedford, who won at Chelmsford by the only goal. Three others, Netherfield, Wimbledon and Bath, will be involved in replays next week. There was a surprise at Coventry, where the 3rd Division leaders went down 2-1 to Bristol Rovers. In the Football League, Dennis Law, playing his last game before his suspension begins on Monday, scored 4 times in Manchester United's 5-2 win over Stoke City. And at Bolton, Jimmy Greaves at last got his 200th goal in league football. Tottenham won 3-1. One coach of the Cardiff to Penzance Express, which was crowded with Bristol City supporters going to their club's FA Cup tie at Exeter, was derailed this morning at Flex Boughton, 6 miles from Bristol. One elderly woman was taken to hospital, suffering from shock. The coach left the line as the train came out of a tunnel. Only one track was blocked and single-line traffic was put into operation. The referee for the match was on board, but he arrived in time to take charge of the game. A special train was laid on to take passengers to Exeter. The condition of Sir Jack Hobbs, who was seriously ill at his home in Hove, was said tonight to be unchanged. Earlier today, he was reported to be a little weaker. Australia's controversial fast bowler Ian Meckiff was called for throwing 4 times in his opening over in the first test match against South Africa at Brisbane. Spectators booed and shouted at the umpire, and there were noisy scenes when the Australian captain Benno took Meckiff off at the end of the over. When play ended, the crowd surged onto the field and Meckiff was carried shoulder high to the pavilion. Later, Benno said he wouldn't bowl Meckiff again during the match. At the end of the second day, South Africa were 157-4 in reply to Australia's first innings total of 435. Tom Graveney, playing at Dhaka for the Commonwealth 11, failed by 3 to get his 3rd successive century against Pakistan. On the opening day of this final unofficial test, the Commonwealth side made 234 and Pakistan were 13 for no wicket at the close. The deadline set in threatening letters for the killing of Mr. Harold Wilson expired just over half an hour ago. But police are expected to maintain their guard overnight outside his house in Hampstead Garden suburb, northwest London. Detectives in Bolton, Lancashire, are trying to trace the person who sent the 2 letters from the town. Tomorrow, Mr. Wilson will be going to Brighton to visit the University of Sussex. In the international amateur boxing match at Moscow, the Soviet Union beat England by 9-1. England's only victory was in the welterweight contest when Ronald Smith of London outpointed Boris Kurochkin. Cold, mainly dry weather is forecast for all districts tomorrow. There'll be sunny periods in southern and western areas. And that's the end of the news.